HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to the HD Branch podcast. The weekly companion to your printed copy of HD Branch, where I, your host Karishma Kunzang from Team Branch, give you a behind the scenes of what you'll be reading on Sunday. There'll be interviews with the biggest Bollywood celebrities talking about things that matter to them. You'll also get to know a little more about the columns by Veer Sanghvi and Seema Goswami from the columnists themselves. Why should you listen to it? Well, it's one of India's top Sunday magazines. It has the best editors, columnists, and opinion leaders bringing you what's happening around town. Listen on for an additional dose of brunch. This series is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Hi guys, how's it going? Well, at the risk of revealing my age, I remember when I was 22 and I was about a year or so into my first job and ecstatic to be earning for the first time ever. Instagram was the hot new thing and I was just learning Wahi We Need an Others folder in our inbox. And of course, I was happy to have settled into a career I was passionate about. Well, Alaya F, who made her debut with Jawani Janeman earlier this year, too seems to have found her calling at 22. Here are a few excerpts from my conversation with last week's HD Ranch cover star, who also authored the copy. And yes, she's sensible AF. Hi Alaya, and welcome to the HD Branch podcast. We're going to begin with something that you pointed out in the cover story that you wrote, that you're quite superstitious. What's the one that you follow religiously?
Oh my god, I touch wood non-stop. I touch wood, like, I swear I do it. I'm not even joking. If I have a conversation with you, just like face-to-face, I'll probably do it like at least 3 times in the matter of one conversation. So my friends are always joking. They're like, listen, you need to stop. You'll have a dent in your head. Because I keep knocking. I don't even just tap it. I like aggressively knock on my head. So I think that's a really weird one. That one I follow to the T all the time.
Okay.
And how do you manage your social media?
Like now I do most of my shopping through Instagram. You know, it's weird. Like, I'll suddenly see ads for things I like, and the more I click on them, the more ads I'll get. You know, it's like all of this, like everything is suddenly, there's so much more to everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Before it used to be a lot more basic and straightforward, like this is what this is, and this is what this does, and this is what you do through it.
Yeah.
Now there are so many elements to everything. Now on your Instagram, you have insights, and for every post, right, you'll be obsessing over. Okay, but what, it's not only about now the likes and the comments. What is the reach? What is the engagement?
Yeah.
What hours are my followers most active? What days do I post the most? What is, you know, just everything is so much more complicated and detailed, which in a way is great because it gives you a lot more clarity. You know exactly what you need to do. You have more options of things to do.
Mm.
But it does get overwhelming sometimes, but I mean,
Yeah,
I take it as seriously as I want to.
Yes.
You know, I don't give it too much attention and too much time, but I put in just enough to be satisfied with what I'm putting out.
I have to ask, do you also get heroes sliding into your DMs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think every girl, you don't have to be a public figure for this. Anyone. I'm sure everyone I know gets these.
Yep.
You know, in fact, not even people in India. Like, I've seen people, like my friends from America and everyone, they'll always have these random Indian boys sliding into DMs. All these arctic rides. So funny.
What about the number of social media followers? Does that matter today or not?
I think people are saying it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know what angle they're thinking of it from. I mean, it doesn't matter to the point where it's like driving insane. But it does matter enough to the point where I actively try and do things to, you know, engage a different audience or try and pull in a different audience. And I'm still trying to figure out a lot of it, you know. Like, just today, I had the realization that I'm talking in English a lot on my Instagram. And I was like, you know, I'm totally, and I do a lot of videos and like longer videos. And I was like, see, I'm just sitting on, so I'm like completely blocking off a whole audience. So then, like just today, I was having that thought. So I think it's just a matter of figuring out what you want from social media and then working on that.
You grew up with the superstar for a grandfather as well as mother. How has the idea of fame changed over the years?
Earlier, stars or celebrities were not as accessible, you know.
Yeah.
Used to be, as far as my mother tells me, like, these magazines that used to come out and like, photos used to be there and all these articles used to be there about the scandals or what was happening and this and that. And, you know, those were the only real places that people could really get an understanding or information of what was happening in this very elusive world. And, you know, it was a lot more, of course, you know, and people would like die to catch a glimpse of a celebrity somewhere. And, you know, it was a lot more restricted. No one had as much access. Now, everyone has access to everything. You see everyone's gym looks, you see everyone's airport looks, you see Instagram, like everyone's posting Instagram, you see what they're doing at home, you see everything. So, now getting famous is a very, very different concept. Earlier, like, people were almost godlike, you know?
Yeah.
Stars and celebrities. Because they were so elusive. You didn't know much. There was so much mystery. They were godlike.
Yeah.
Now I feel like everyone is so much more relatable. Like, you can look at anyone's profile, and everyone wants to be relatable. And anyone that's trying to be godlike isn't really working. I definitely think fame is a lot more attainable now, but because there are so many people and so much, you know, competition in a lot of ways, because there are so many people that you see all the time, I feel like people are a lot more replaceable. So getting fame is very easy now, but holding on to it is much harder. Whereas earlier, I feel like getting it was hard, and holding on to it was much easier because you were just there, you were at the top, you know. So unless, like, for a long time, you know, you were not at the top, I think you'd stay.
Is there something that you consciously do for your mental health?
Just prioritizing myself, you know, I feel like so many times, a lot of people, you know, try and be selfless and, you know, give a lot of their time and energy to so many people and so many things. I feel like, of course, sometimes, you know, you have obligations, you have to do things that, you know, you perhaps don't want to do, or you have to, you know, sometimes have to push yourself more than you want to. But I think just prioritizing yourself and really listening to yourself, and that listening. See, what I try and do is I try and talk to myself. Sometimes I go out talking to a really, really good friend of mine. You know, I give a lot of jnana and I give a lot of advice to a lot of people around me. And so I do the same thing to myself. You know, if I'm feeling really down or low, like I'll sit up and I'll be like, what? What's this one? And I'll try and break down what the issue is. And I'll be like, okay, what would I say to some close friend of mine if this was happening to them? And I'll put into total perspective. And I think this sounds really weird, but I just became really, really good friends with myself. You know, I tried really spending time with myself. I tried, and I do now. I'm very, very comfortable spending time with myself. And sometimes I'll be walking past the mirror and I'll just look at myself and I'll wink at myself and I'll smile. You know? Like, little things like that that are constantly, like, you know, letting yourself know that you're there for you.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important, because I feel like we always rely on so many people to validate us and, you know, be there for us. That's wonderful. And that's what I've been very lucky to be surrounded by, a lot of wonderful people, whether it's my teacher, my family, my friends, all of that. But at the same time, I like to get that validation and that support and help from myself.
Thank you so much for taking out the time to do this, and congratulations once again on the cover story as well as writing it. Thank you so much. What's the one condiment you just can't do without? Something that goes with pork sausages, an egg or ham and cheese sandwich, or even pakoras. For all those of you thinking about ketchup right now, guys, it's time to move on. And I'm not even talking about something too fancy, but something as basic as mustard. It's my go-to whenever I want to salvage my culinary experiments gone wrong. And as I'm a picky eater, I'm always trying to get my hands on some Bengali Kasundi mustard. It's sharp and just a dash is enough to transform a dish. Well, this week we have Veer Sanghvi talking about mustard and its Indian origin. Listen on to know more.
If you're a fan of the American TV show Friends, and let's face it, most of us are, the damn thing's on television every day. There's some repeat or the other going off this 20-year-old show. You'll know that one of the running gags is about garlic. They keep making fun of people who like garlic. Well, I am the person they make fun of. I love garlic. my wife, my son, all of whom are friends, addicts, continue to act like I'm some kind of idiot because they eat so much garlic. But you know, I've now got a way of getting back at them. I don't talk about garlic. I have a new passion, and that's mustard. Now, if you think of mustard as this fancy French thing which they make in Dijon, think again. The fancy, expensive French stuff, which is mustard put in champagne, etc., etc., is, in my view, rubbish. I would never, ever spend any money on it. What I like are our own mustards. And don't forget, mustard is an Indian ingredient. It seems to have been created and grown for the first time in the Indus Valley civilization. And probably we sent it out. So we should be proud of mustard. We should be proud of the mustard seeds that we use at the beginning of cooking. We should be proud of mustard greens. The Japanese make a big deal out of eating mustard greens. But you know, sarso ka saag is what? It's essentially a mustard green. But my favorite mustards are the mustards of Bengal, not just the mustard oil that they use, but also something called kasundi, which is a Bengali relish. It's like a chutney or like a prepared mustard for if you haven't had it before. But the great thing about it is that it goes with anything. You have a pakoda, you put it in kasundi, it's wonderful. You have a kebab, you put it in there, it's wonderful. These days, I even take Western-style sausages and I dip them in kasundi. I always think that's interesting because we think of India as being ginger, garlic, onion, but we forget that mustard is so much a part of our tradition. It's something that was rooted in the heart of India, in the history of India, and it's something we still do better than anyone else.
I'm one of those people who loves planning things. It's not as obsessive as Monica from Friends, but I do need to have certain things in place. Travel plans, work schedules, and of course, meals during the lockdown. The more detailed it is, the better. I'm usually the one who'll want to find the perfect place to stay and be in charge of the meals during vacations. Everything except the math, which is totally somebody else's headache. But I can't imagine planning a trip in the middle of a pandemic. I think I'll just be planning restroom stops and rationing like disinfectant sprays or something. Even though people would say that this is the best time for that Goa trip, that never happened. Well, here's what Rehana Munir has to say about lockdown traveling, or at least planning it. Diwali makes gamblers of us all, only this year it's not with playing cards. You know, the meaning of the term risk has changed several times over since this year began. We've all had these elaborate pandemic fantasies of escaping our cities, our little coops in our urban jungles, and going away to a nice, quiet, green place with people who form what we've begun to call our COVID bubble. And it's actually a very liberating idea. So we make these WhatsApp groups and we draw up these plans. And soon we realize we're revealing parts of our personality that we didn't even know existed. So, you know, on these WhatsApp groups, there'll always be one person who's constantly looking up the safety protocol in the place that you're trying to book. There'll be another person, and we all know this person, who's only obsessed with a swimming pool. And there'll be yet another who swings between wild enthusiasm and complete panic every few hours. And we realize that we need to sort of take this all in our stride and be calm about our own emotions and those of other people. But it turns out to be rather comical because this is a holiday that we're trying to plan. And the kind of, you know, terminology and the kind of moods that this simple idea brings about are nothing short of some kind of wartime strategizing. It's all part and parcel of this education of a year. I think it's a great year to be an anthropologist or a philosopher, anything but perhaps a tour guide or a hotel operator. So this week's column, I look at this time, you know, this time of year when we're usually running away with our friends and loved ones and how it's all panning out in the context of the pandemic. I hope you enjoy reading it. Bye. She's a musician who gave up the promise of a steady job as a lawyer to pursue her passion. Yes, we're talking about Mumbai-based musician Aditi Ramesh, who's also a part of the a cappella group Voktronica. The Carnatic-trained singer is known for incorporating her passion for jazz with her pre-existing vocal skills. But let's not confine her to a genre, something she addresses in a song she released yesterday called Samba's Soul. The obsession with labels, genres, adjectives, and classification as a society would actually hinders the birth of original thought and hence notions of success, beauty, and happiness. Aptly enough, when we reached out to her to sing a cover for us, she went with George Michael's Freedom. Hope you enjoy listening to it and maybe even singing along.
Hi guys, my name is Aditi Ramesh and I'm a vocalist, musician and composer. That was a song called Freedom by George Michael. It's one of my favorite 90s songs. I hope all of you are safe and well and happy and have a very happy weekend brunch.
The weekend is when you take a break from a hectic week, whether it's work from home or work from work. It's also a day to develop perspective on things by not just consuming news, but also analyzing it by listening to different points of views and figuring out what you feel about it. We hope we've been able to do just that with today's HT Brunch podcast. Feel free to give us feedback and suggestions on HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or DM us directly at HT Brunch on Instagram and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. I will see you back here next weekend with another dose of entertainment that keeps things real. Till then, happy brunching, guys!
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT Smartcast.